Hello and welcome to episode 7 of Is It Funny? I'm your host, Dr. Cade Laity. And this week, we're looking at the Dagenham Dialogues. In particular, one dialogue, which is called At the Art Gallery. Most of the dialogues take place in fairly familiar surroundings. Pubs, the home of either Pete or Dud. And not in places quite as rarefied as an art gallery. And it's kind of interesting because the gap between our expectations about these familiar characters that Peter Cook often referred to, one of them as an idiot and the other as slightly less of an idiot, which is certainly a good description. So fairly clueless. And the thought of them being in an art gallery, this is probably my favorite of all the Pete and Dud bits, but the thought of them being at the art gallery is immediately a collision of expectations that they should be familiar with things like not only the paintings of Rubens, but also abstracts. Very strange. But of course, that this is not something necessarily that they're terribly excited about. So why are they there? Who knows? It's very strange to consider. As I think I mentioned last week, the Dagenham Dialogues were originally published in 1971 by Matthew and Drama, which seems a fairly, distinguished sort of publication for comedy dialogues and a recognition of the importance of them. The edition that I have is actually published by Mandarin and was clearly, unfortunately, published to capitalize on Peter Cook's death because it, on the back cover copy, Peter Cook's death in January 1995 generated a huge public reaction and not least an unprecedented tribute to his work. And so they've brought these back out and they describe the dialogues as gritty, eye-opening, and utterly hilarious, which very strange combination of descriptors there. The book itself is dedicated, as a writer, I'm always looking at the front matter of a book, something I try to convince my students in my digital publishing course they need to do. But the book is dedicated to Auntie Beeb, which seems reasonable since, you know, this is how it all began. Uncle Lou, of course, a reference to Lou Grade. Mr. and Mrs. Woolley, Dr. Groke, who appears in the dialogues. Aunt Dolly, who appears frequently in the dialogues. Uncle Bert, Joan Harold, Daphne Meacham, Her Most Gracious Majesty. Stella Newby, which is one of his favorite names. She appears in many, many of his monologues. The Reverend Stevens, Roy Taylor, and Mrs. McDermott. And, well, I may go through some of the other dialogues at some point, but it's probably worth mentioning in the acknowledgements, they spell it out. 11 of the scripts published in this book were originally transmitted by the BBC in the program Not Only But Also. 3 of these were subsequently published in The Listener, and the sketch By Appointment was originally performed as part of the Royal Performance at the Palladium Theatre in 1965. So we have a clear sense of when and where these all appeared. The Art Gallery one is probably my favorite, and you can easily find it on YouTube. What these are not the scripts that they read from, but a transcription of what was actually broadcast. And so some of it is very funny because I have the visuals of it in my head, which I suppose is not surprising. It's funny because these things are so clear and even verbal versions of them are so clear. I swear that I saw the video of for example, Tony Hancock's The Poetry Club, which is available only in audio, but it's like I can see it so clearly, you know, Tony and Sid, that I still imagine that I have actually seen it when, in fact, I have not. But in this case, I have many, many times watched the video of Pete and Dud at the Art Gallery. And so it's funny to see the words and imagine it at the same time. Well, maybe it's not funny. It just seems so to me because it so vividly evokes the video. And beginning, of course, that having lost each other in the art gallery. And again, the art gallery in question is the National Gallery in London. If you've ever been to Trafalgar Square, you have been in front of the National Gallery. And how much do I like this bit? this dialogue. I started a novel in the place where they end up in this dialogue. So in the National Gallery, in front of Les Grandes Banlieues. And the same novel, should I even name it? No, I'll let you figure it out. I don't even know if anybody's listening to this anyway. But the same novel is full of what we have come to call Easter eggs, sort of hidden gifts that will be recognizable to any Peter Cook fan and will pass on notice to the average reader. So the first place they find each other again is in front of the passing out of the moneylenders. And Dud, of course, is very upset because he's not been able to find Pete for the past half hour. We said we'd rendezvous in front of the Flemish masters. No, we didn't. Never said anything of the sort. And so, well, but when I last saw you, you were in front of the Bruegels. And then, well, you know, here's how I went through the abstracts, past the El Greco, up the Van Dyke, which, again, not just a random collection of things, an actual collection of the gallery, but also utilizing and choosing just the funny ones. And I'd see you in front of the bloody Rubens, the bloody Rubens. No, but I said, and in this Dud, I'd go around Velázquez and then through the abstracts up the Impressionists and meet you in front of the Flemish masters. No, you didn't. It doesn't matter anyway. And one of the first, and probably one of the most beautiful corpsing moments is Dud delivering the lines, here, have a sandwich. My feet are killing me. And Pete saying, what's that got to do with the sandwich? And they both are just trying so hard not to laugh at that moment that it's really such a delight to see. Well, you shouldn't say things like that together. It could confuse a stupid person. And then they begin discussing the quality of the art and saying, Dud saying there's a lot of rubbish in this gallery, and Pete saying, not only rubbish, there's a lot of muck about. And they've been trying to find something good. Here in the National Gallery, the collection of the greatest art belonging to the nation, and they're like, can we find anything worthwhile? And of course, what do they consider worthwhile art? Well, here's where they're trying to show this kind of division between the high art they find themselves amongst and the art that people actually have in their houses and actually enjoy. Where's Dud? I've been looking for that lovely green gypsy lady. You know, the one with the lovely shiny skin. Where is she? Nowhere. Nowhere. And this becomes a bit of a point of contention as Dud demands one of the docents tell him, you know, where is this real art? And the lovely green gypsy lady, again, like so many of the dialogues, full of terminology we would not use today that people find offensive. But it's also one of these things that many, many, many people will know. The painting referred to is actually called The Chinese Girl by Vladimir Tretyakov, who is a Russian who lived in South Africa. He has another painting also called Miss Wong. And the young woman who sat for him for these paintings, Monica Pon, was 17 years old when she posed for The Chinese Girl and was paid, I think, the equivalent of about £6.50. And of course, he referred to his rather palatial house in South Africa as the house the Chinese girl built. Sold tons of these, and it's really interesting, this sort of art that is omnipresent. You could buy, of course, copies of it in Woolworths, and similarly, the paintings of J.H. Lynch, who took Jeannie Shrimpton, I think, as his ideal, and painted a number of fetching girl images. Probably the most popular one is known as Tina, and you could buy it even in Boots. And Tina has quite a long life too. In fact, my partner's father has a copy of this on his walls to this day. And Tina, in fact, and other paintings by J.H. Lynch show up in A Clockwork Orange because these were things you could buy at Boots. So The Chinese Girl at Woolworths and Tina at Boots. The pervasiveness of this very kitschy painting can probably be seen best as showing up in one of the collections designed by Stella McCartney. You know, this is a really, really sort of strange kind of homage, I guess, to this omnipresent image. And Tretyakov's paintings, were available in Woolworth, so many, many people had them, and they showed up a lot in popular culture. And again, this is this idea that somehow popular culture now has an omnipresent effect. It did have an omnipresent effect in the past, too. It's just that it was more monolithic. So everybody picked up their style designs. Not everybody, of course, but many, many people picked up their style designs from watching Coronation Street. Coronation Street, not only the Chinese girl, but also, what I'll mention in a minute, the ducks on the wall. Tretyakov's painting also shows up in Alfie. Shelley Winter's character has the painting on her wall. And in Hitchcock's Frenzy, so Alfie 66, Frenzy 72, the art gallery is before, around the time of Alfie anyway. So this very pervasive, this idea of, well, what's actually art and what's actually attractive is a debate that continues to constantly go on, that is informed by things far beyond what is actually art and what is actually beauty, and should art be beautiful? Should art be provoking? All these questions that will never come to any kind of conclusion, because there is no conclusion. Art is a conversation in the same way that humor is an ongoing conversation. Things change. Things don't always stay the same. So for Pete and Dad, another question is, where are the ducks? Where are those ducks? There's not a Vernon Ward gallery in here, Doug complains. And Pete's saying, yeah, there's not a duck in the building. There's no Peter Scott. There's no Vernon Ward. Not a duck to be seen. Peter Scott, who's famous for not only ducks, but a lot of sort of nature paintings, was the son of Scott to the Antarctic. And Vernon Ward, of course, his ducks are quite famous. And again, very kitschy, but also very, very widely known. And for Pete and Dad here, a lot of it has to do with this idea of the skill of focusing on one particular thing. Dad saying, he's been doing ducks all his life. And Pete say, he's done more ducks than you've had hot breakfast done. If he's done anything, he's done ducks. He's done ducks in all positions. So again, sort of leading into the humor, ducks in the morning, ducks in the evening, ducks in the summertime. What's that song? And then they just repeat it. How do you know that someone is a good painter? And this is something that a lot of people repeat, even if they've never heard this particular dialogue or never heard of the Dagenham dialogues at all. The thing, what makes you know that Vernon Ward is a good painter, is if you look at his ducks, you see the eyes follow you around the room. And that following you around the room is such a brilliant thing. And so many people repeat that line, some people knowing it, some people not knowing it. This idea of art that has a kind of life to it, that it looks at you even as you look at it, is such a wonderful, wonderful concept. And they follow this up by talking about what kind of art is appropriate for your bathroom and how terrible it'd be to have the Laughing Cavalier in there having a giggle at you, and that would be, you know, very embarrassing. And worse than the Laughing Cavalier is B talking about his Auntie Muriel, and she has the Mona Lisa in her toilet, and you know how terrible to have somebody like that looking down on you as you're trying to use the facilities. And then they finally come back to the Rubens and talking about, oh, those fat ladies with nothing on, great big fat ladies, naked except for a tiny little wisp of gauze that always lands on the appropriate place, if you know what I mean. Always the wind blows that little bit of gauze over you know where. And so this kind of, I see this as very, very much ingrained in British comedy in the 20th century, this sense of both the naughtiness of sex and then a real inability to actually talk about it. And the Rubens paintings are a great example of that. And also the connection to the Botticelli cherubs. The cherubs are a fascinating part of their discussion, because Dud's saying, you know, you don't see them anymore these days. And Pete says, well, they died out. People hunted them down for their silken skin. It's so macabre. It's so beautifully macabre. And Dud's saying, well, no, they couldn't kill them. They're immortal. And Pete said, no, they weren't. They shot them through with arrows in their tiny little bellies, and their skin was turned into underwear for rich ladies and courtesans. Which, I don't know, there's just something so wonderful about that it's, you know, this both macabre and so fanciful, so fun. And then talking about the Da Vinci cartoon and saying, you know, cartoon used in the art sense of this kind of sketch. And he's like, well, I didn't see the bloody joke. but probably back in the day, people were just killing themselves laughing at it. It's just very different. And what is the comparison they make? Oh, well, it's like, for instance, the mousetrap did terribly in Pakistan. The mousetrap, the Agatha Christie play, still keeping new plays out of the West End, even today, I think. Well, maybe the COVID shut it down. Who knows? I did actually, my very first summer in London, I did see the mousetrap. I remember almost nothing about it other than kind of resenting the fact that the class, we went there. And of course, and then finally at the end, they come back to the Cezanne, which had been in the news because, of course, there was, 500,000 quid we paid for that. Those nude women come out of our pocket, Dad. So this, every time there's an expensive painting bought or expensive piece of art, people are like, well, you know, how can we justify spending that kind of money on this thing, Les Grandes Banlieues? And is Cezanne worth the price? Who knows? Well, my Aunt Dolly would have done it for nothing. And of course, this a chance to attack poor Aunt Dolly. She does anything for nothing, doesn't she? Part of what their discussion of the painting is that it's not really good painting because you can't see their eyes, and therefore their eyes cannot follow you around the room. And so perhaps, though, the suggestion is that, by Pete, of course, that, well, the bottoms follow you around the room. And the bottoms follow you around the room. Does that mean it's a good painting? Well, I don't know. So they decide that they really just need to get out of there and give their fevered imagination a break. I don't know. maybe a deep dive into the dialogues is just too much fun to resist. Now I have to figure out what to do next. I don't know. Whatever happens, I'll see you next time. Bye.